It's a great honor to stand before God's people, bring forth his word. It's a great honor to have Pastor Obi to allow me to stand here to bring forth God's word. You know, as I was preparing for this word this morning, I was thinking about, you know what, we all have these little things called cell phones. And they're amazing little instruments. We can text, we can talk, we can watch movies, we can download music, we can copy, we can send documents, download documents. In fact, this cell phone, or people call them smartphones, because they're smarter than the people using them, can do anything. In fact, we have faith in our cell phones. If we leave our house going to work or to church, and you look down, you say, oh, I left my cell phone at home, but I'm running late. You still go back home and get your cell phone. Because it's such a part of you, such a part of us. But there's something I found out about the cell phone. Until you do something, it's useless. I mean, you can turn it on, but it's limited to what it could do. Until you activate the cell phone, the cell plan, it's useless. It's just something you carry around in your pocket. You have debit cards, credit cards in your pocket. You can carry around all day long, but until you dial that 1-800 number and the guy says you activated, the card is useless. It means nothing. And I thought about something else, that in this day and time now, we have voice activations. Siri, look up so-and-so. Siri, how do I make a meat pie? Siri, what's Joseph Rice? Siri, can you do this? Siri, do that. Now they got one called Alexia. Alexia, turn off my lights. Alexia, who called? Alexia, do this. They had a commercial where a dog had one around his neck barking, and the dog was ordering dog food. They even got voice-activated cars. Saw one on TV the other day. You get in your car, you tell it where you want to go. But just something about voice activation. We got it in our cars, on our cell phone. Tell it where you want to turn on your GPS. Tell it what you want to do. But did you realize that God has set up a voice activation system of faith? When your mouth is connected to your heart, all believers have the spirit of faith, but it lies dormant until you activate it, until you activate it. We walk around with faith, but some of us walk around with dormant faith. Some of us walking around with faith that's not totally activated. It's only partial good, partially used. So I want to share this morning briefly two things you need to do to activate your faith system. And when I read this scripture that I have seen over the years, but really overlooked it. You know how you read things and sort of just glance over it? When I read this scripture, and it was because of my wife, because she asked me a question one morning. So I found that scripture. And when I read it, my faith switch was turned on to overdrive. Just a simple little scripture. Turn to 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. We're going to look at one little verse. And if this does not turn your faith switch on, I don't know what will. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. And it reads, I'm reading from the NIV. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe, therefore speak. I'm going to read it again because I wanted to sort of hit home. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Based on what Paul said, anyone who has faith, whether it's you, me, or anyone else, has the same spirit of faith, and it operates the same way in everyone. It has nothing to do with how old you are or how long you've been a believer. When we believe and speak according to the scriptures, we possess those things that are promised to us. When we speak and believe, we possess those things that are promised to us. Throughout the ministry of Jesus, he demonstrated the power of believing and speaking. Starting with the temptation in the wilderness found in Matthew 4. Three times the devil tried to tempt him after his 40 days. Three times. But Jesus believed the word of God and said three times, he spoke to the devil and said, it is written. He believed God's word and he said, it is written. Man should not live by bread alone. Another one is found in Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 28. This is when he rebuked or spoke to the wind and the waves, and they became calm. He spoke to the wind and the waves, and the disciples said, what manner of man is this? The power of believing the word of God and speaking the word to a situation. What manner of man is this? They called him a man, because at that point, he was a man. But he spoke, and things calmed down. Then we can find another one in Matthew 8, verses 5 through 13. This is when we see the centurion soldier coming to Jesus, seeking healing for his servant. Jesus wanted to go to the centurion's home. But the centurion said, speak a word, and the servant will be healed. He believed that God speaking the word over a situation, things would happen. Note this, though, especially to your young people, and to us older folks, too. Be careful who you have speak over your life. See, he didn't just go to anybody and say, speak. He went to Jesus. So that sort of showed me that we need to be careful not to let any Tom, Dick, or Marianne speak over your life. Because when those words have power, so be cautious. Then the final example I want to share with you is found in Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 24. Can you turn to that chapter, please? Turn to Mark 11. 22 through 24. The power of believing God's word and speaking it. It says this, have faith in God. Jesus answered, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen. It will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you receive it, and it will be yours. Powerful words of speaking faith. Now, question is, what is faith? If I was to ask any of you in here what faith is, I would probably get several answers. Some would probably say it's trust, it's confidence, it's assurance, it's belief. Hebrews 11:1 says this, tells us that faith is this, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. But this is my definition of faith. Faith means looking at what is visible. Faith is not looking at what is visible. Faith means not looking at what is visible, but believing that God is almighty. Faith means being obedient even when we can't see the results. Faith means action. Faith gives results. Faith is a choice. Did you know faith was a choice? You can choose faith or not choose faith. Faith principles can be taught every weekend, every Sunday, every day. We can teach the principles of faith. But the spirit of faith has to be caught. People with the spirit of faith has an awesome attitude of victory. They walk around saying things like this, all things are possible. All things are possible. Or they may say, I am an overcomer. They walk around with victory in sight, no matter what the circumstances look like, no matter what it seems to be doing. There are two things I want to share with you about what happens when your faith is activated and the spirit of faith kicks in. Number one, activated faith sees victory or sees beyond its circumstances. Activated faith sees victory or sees beyond its circumstances. It's very easy to see the contrast between those who have the spirit of faith and those who do not when you read Numbers 13 and 14. There we see Moses sending out the 12 spies, including Joshua and Caleb, into the promised land. For 40 days, these men traveled throughout together and scouted out the territory God had promised them. When they returned, they gave very different reports. Even through their physical eyes, even though their physical eyes had saw exactly the same thing. Caleb said this in Numbers 13:30. Let us go up at once and take possession, for we will be able to overcome it. But the 10 spies banded together and says, we are not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we are. In Numbers 13:31, you find this. Caleb and Joshua believe beyond their circumstances and believe what God has spoken. What was the difference? God said in Numbers 14:24 that Caleb had a different spirit. That different spirit was a spirit of faith. Joshua also had the spirit of faith. And because of it, both he and Caleb were able to inherit the promised land. Those who did not have the spirit of faith were unable to enter in. All 12 observed the same thing. But their perspectives were different. Their perspective was determined by what was seen. Their perspective was different, excuse me, by what was inside of them. You see, we do not see with our eyes. We see through them. Spiritually speaking, we see with our hearts. And anyone with the spirit of faith that has been activated sees victory even before it's visible to others. For we walk by faith and not by sight. I asked God, give me a picture of walking by faith. What does it look like? You know, God can be humorous at times. He can be so funny that he makes you laugh. But he makes it so simple a child can understand. My wife threw me a birthday party last weekend, a surprise birthday party. She blindfolded me. So my faith was in her hands because I didn't know where I was going, where I was walking to. So she had to tell me, step up, step down, turn right, turn left. I was walking by faith because I couldn't see. We walk by faith, we allow God to guide us, trusting in every way, every step we take. Do you know faith was like a GPS? If you don't activate it, you're going to make all kinds of wrong turns. If you don't activate your faith, you can make all kinds of wrong turns in life. But it's trust, thing in God. The second point I want to tell you about activated faith is that activated faith speaks victory. It speaks victory. We're going to go back to Mark 11, 22 and 24 again. I'm going to read it. It says, have faith in God. Jesus answered, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourselves into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer and believe, that you have received it, and it will be yours. According to Jesus, faith has two parts, believing and speaking. He was describing active faith. He did not just say this works for those who believe in their heart. He said it works for whoever shall say and shall not doubt in their heart. Activated faith definitely requires believing, but it also involves speaking. There's a story of a woman who lived out in the country, but had to drive 50 miles to church every Sunday because before her was a mountain. And to get where she had to go to church, they'd go around the mountain. When she knew that if the mountain wasn't there, she could be in church within 10 miles. So every day, she'd speak to that mountain. Mountain, be gone. Every day. Her son grew up hearing his mama speaking to that mountain. Every day, she did not stop speaking to that mountain to be gone. As they got older, as the son got older, he was taking his mom to church. He may have been in his 30s. She came out, walking on her cane, mountain, in the name of Jesus, be gone. He says, Mama, you've been speaking to that mountain for over 30 years, and it ain't gone nowhere. He said, Son, God said, if I speak and believe and not doubt, it would happen. I'm believing that mountain's going to be gone. So one Sunday morning, he came to get his mother from church. He pulled up to the driveway and he noticed two men out there in the yard surveying. He said, what are they doing on my mama's property? So he went and asked him. He said, sir, why are you surveying out through here? This is my mama's property. He says, we're here for the state and we're getting ready to cut a road straight through that mountain. Now, the mountain didn't go nowhere, but God took care of the circumstances of that mountain by cutting a road through that mountain. She believed that God would do something. Notice that Jesus didn't put a time limit on the mountain being removed. He didn't say, speak and it's done today. He didn't say, speak and it'll be done next week. He didn't say, speak and it'll be done next year. He just said, believe that it will be done. Believe that you have received it. Our problem is, in this society, we are a society of instance. We want it right now. We want instant coffee, instant potatoes, instant oatmeal. We want everything to be instant. We want it now, and we want it our way. But God didn't put a time limit on what he's going to do. God's our own time God. He's our own time God. The mountains you are facing today needs to hear your voice. It is not going to budge until you speak to it. Someone might say, well, I just believe that the mountain is my problem because it's from God. He's using this situation to humble me. He's using it to test me, to teach me. But think about this. If God wanted you to have the mountain, why would Jesus have taught us how to have it removed? You see, it's not up to God whether the mountain stays or leaves. Jesus said it will move for whoever shall say and shall not doubt in their heart. In other words, it's up to me and it's up to you. Maybe you've been waiting for God to move in a situation, but the truth is, he's waiting for you to speak to the mountain and tell it to move. There's a British evangelist, Smith Wigglesworth is his name. He said this, laugh at impossibilities. Because when you cry and allow yourself to become distraught over a negative situation, there is a tendency to speak the wrong thing. Laughing at the situation means that you see and believe that God will ultimately change the situation in your favor. In 2006, I'm going to deliver a testimony about a mountain. In 2006, I had a mountain called cancer. Prostate cancer, to be exact. Every doctor I went to says, oh, you got to have surgery. You got to have it taken out. You got to have prostate removed. You got cancer. It's going to spread, and you're not going to live. All kinds of negative stuff. So I said, wait a minute. Let me go to God about this. So I went to God. In fact, it happened during midnight vigil. Something about midnight. Something about the power of midnight. Something about the power of crying out to God in the midnight hour, the first watch of the day. And I was, as I was sitting there praying about the situation, the Lord says, no surgery. I said, oh, but I need a plan. I need a plan. He laid out a plan. He laid out a diet plan. He laid out an exercise plan. He laid out everything. He said, but no surgery. So I went back to my doctor. I said, okay, I got my decision. I can tell she wasn't a true believer. I said, Lord told me no surgery. She looked at me like, well, you're just going to die then, and I won't need you as a patient. So I'll just drop you as a patient. I went, fine. No problem. I spoke. He spoke, I believed. So I went on and I followed everything he laid out to me, from eating certain foods to exercising. And every day when I was in that treadmill, I spoke against cancer. Every weight I lifted, I spoke against cancer. Everything I did, I spoke against cancer. In fact, I think I dropped down 45 pounds and I was looking good. Looking real good. Feeling good. But people couldn't believe what I was doing. I was on an 800 calorie diet. Now, I'm 6'7". I should be on at least 24,000 calories a day. I was on 800 calories a day. I calculated 800 calories. I said, you can't live. I said, yes, I can. Because God said I could. But anyway, make a long story short. Every time I go to the doctor, my cancer hadn't spread it. My cancer numbers were the same. Everything was going well. God had, he just put a halt on everything. Then one day I went to have some tests done, and they got freaked out because the numbers changed. The numbers they're looking at for you men, it's called PSA. That's what they do to check if you got prostate cancer. The numbers jumped sky high, and they got freaked out. Oh, you're not going to make it. But God kept saying, no surgery. He says, no. I refuse to have surgery. I believe, stand on the word of God. He spoke it. I'm going to believe it. I've been speaking it, and I'm going to believe it. So I said, no, no surgery. So I was sitting there praying one day about it, and God gave me a man's name. Same man who took care of my father's situation. I called him. He says, I can't take you as a patient because I work on referrals. He says, but because of who your daddy is, I'll take you. Going to find out the guy's a medical missionary. He said, why didn't you have surgery? And I told him why. He says, I'm standing with you. I'm believing with you. No surgery. He said, well, we're going to do this. I got a new machine that's been just invented. I got a new machine. It's called it's called laser knife. He says, I can do a biopsy. And he said, what's amazing, when he did the biopsy, he said, your biopsy is the same as you, and this was in 2006. In 2009, I was diagnosed in 2006. He says, your biopsy is the same as it was in 2006. It's the same today. It has not moved. It has not changed. God held it at bay. He says, but I can pinpoint with exact accuracy. And he wanted to have surgery. I'm still cancer-free today. Now, what I'm saying about having your mountain removed, my mountain was removed. Now, I was looking for this great spiritual healing. I was waiting for this miraculous, for God to touch me and miraculously touch me and heal me and not having to worry about going to a doctor. But he did it his way. Just like that woman, her mountain, they cut a hole through the mountain. Her mountain was removed. Not the way we thought it would be removed, but the way God wanted to remove it. I want to share one more scripture with you. Like I said, we're almost through here. I don't hold long. My wife says, you're just a meat and potatoes man. But I want to share one more scripture with you, this is a very important scripture. And it's found in Romans 8, verses 10 through 11. And Dr. Kofi, I'd like for you to come and prepare a victory song, because we're going to pray after this. Romans 8, 10 and 11. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Now, I read this to let you know that as believers, we have the same Spirit that calmed the storm. We have the same Spirit that was in the wilderness when Jesus was tempted. We have the same Spirit that when Jesus spoke and healed the centurion soldier. That same Spirit and power, according to Ephesians 19 and 20, that raised Jesus from the dead is in me and is in you. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to take that same Spirit that is in us and activate our faith. We all are facing some kind of situation or circumstances. Some of you may be facing large mountains in their life, in their marriage, in their family, in their finances. But this morning, right now, we're going to do what prayer center does. We're going to stand. You can stand, you can walk, you can kneel, however you feel led. But we're going to take hold of the horns of the altar. And whatever situation you're facing, whatever situation you're going through, whatever your mountain is, we're going to speak to that situation this morning. We're going to believe and we're going to speak the word of God. You can speak in tongues, English, however you want, however you feel led. But I want you to stand to your feet. You can kneel, you can walk, however you feel led. But we're going to, everyone's going through something this morning. No matter how big or how small it is, we all are going through something. So I want you to speak to that situation. Believe it. Speak it. Speak the word of God over the situation right now in the name of Jesus. Speak it. Don't let the devil shame you. Speak it. And believe that God will move. Speak to the situation. Speak to that mountain. Speak healing over your body. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Activate that faith this morning. Don't let your faith lay dormant any longer.